Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is Veronica Monet. Thanks a lot for tuning in once again. My guest tonight is Terry Hinkle. Terry, are you there?
I'm right here. Thanks for letting me be with you tonight.
I'm very happy to be with you. We're going to be talking about a really exciting topic, which is what happens to women as they age? And what
are
the
implications?
You get better.
You know that.
Huh?
Well, you get better. You know that.
Yes, but the really exciting part of it is the implications for world peace and enlightenment. And I think that's the part that we're missing as a society. But before I get ahead of myself, you've got a background in advertising and marketing, not exactly the kind of guy we would think to come to for advice about menopause. Do you want to explain that?
Yes, you're right. I said, you know, that I love on your website where you say, current sexologist and lifetime whore. See, I'm currently talking to women about the empowerment and powerful sexual energy, and then, like you just said, I spent a lifetime in advertising, so we have a lot in common, you see.
I need drumsticks, but I'm
when I was even in college, and, you know, I was in commercial art, and the people that were in fine art, they said, well, you're prostituting your talents. And I said, well, I'm going to eat very well. Thank you very much. So, yeah, it's a little bit different from the days of being in advertising. And I had started where I got to this very quickly is I had started a radio show some years back just because it was the one thing that I didn't know that much about. I'd been in television and print and everything else doing, you know, major advertising campaigns. And it was a really interesting show on spirituality and metaphysics and nothing that I thought I was really knowledgeable about. And all of a sudden it became the fastest syndicated talk show, I found out later, ever. And
what was the name of the show?
It was called Shadow Worlds.
Huh.
And we were just quickly, CRN, Cable Radio Network out in California, you know, picked us up, and we were in like 40 cities within, you know, a month. And so talking to all these wonderful, wonderful people that everything from, Dr. Wayne Dyer to Buddhist monks, Wiccan priestesses, it was quite an education for me. I never even planned on being on the radio, but then at the very, very, very end of the run of 3.5 years of that show that was just wonderful, everybody was asking about the divine feminine, the sacred feminine, and what is this all about? I didn't know. I didn't think. And I started calling all the people that really knew this, but to me, something was missing. And so one day in meditation, and I'd learned meditation, all of a sudden I thought I was having a heart attack, and all the information that I'd been asking for just was downloaded into my human hard drive, and it was the most phenomenal day of my life, and it changed ever since.
So you were meditating. Okay, give us a little more detail on this. Are you sitting in a room by yourself? Are you out meditating in the woods, or where are you meditating?
Well, I had just in my favorite chair here in my house. I'd told my wife, kissed her goodbye. She went to work, and I was going to be working on some artwork here at home, and got the kids to school, and sitting in the chair and just drinking that last bit of lukewarm coffee, and I sat down like I do every day, do some meditation, and all those thoughts of this sacred energy that everybody was asking about for women, what is this coming down right now, this time of man? And you know, for some reason, it was the first time that something just would not get out of my craw. I just couldn't stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I meditated, all of a sudden I started, this may sound very unusual and strange to some of your listeners, but I started shaking. I thought, you know, Veronica, this is this is it. This is a heart attack. I guess I'm done. They're gonna come back from school, and Teresa's gonna come back from work, and you know, I'm just gonna be sitting there. I was feeling very bad, but all of a sudden I wasn't scared anymore. I'm sweating profusely. I'm shaking like crazy. The chair I'm in is totally wet, and then I got a huge, physical jolt as like a 300-page PDF file, pictures, words, movies, all were downloaded into me. But it took 3 years of, you know, this isn't something that just happens to everybody. And I'd interviewed people like that, but it was quite a process. I mean, just of learning to put this down into, we only have 26 letters and a flat piece of paper, but put this great amount of three-dimensional information down where people could understand. So that's been my 3 years of putting that together.
So this happened in 2006?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, have you heard of Akriya?
Akriya, no.
Yeah, it's spelled K-R-I-Y-A.
Kriya.
Kriya.
No, tell me.
Yeah, what kind of a meditation practice do you do? Is this conscious breathing exercises, or
it just became very, very my own personal way that and the way I teach to other people that everybody has their own personal way of getting into a meditative state, and I had a very, very good teacher who also taught me about the Akashic Records.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard about the Akashic Records. So.
Sure.
You know, so it's one thing that came very, very easy for me. And being a creative guy, I was always a little bit out there in the ether anyway. So it was easy for me to connect back with that.
I hope your wife is an earth sign.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, but you're not, are you?
No. In fact, I'm an Aries like you.
Yeah, you're just wandering out there in the ether. I mean, we're fire signs, but you have other influences on your sign.
Oh yeah, I got a little bit of bull in there too. I mean, right on the cusp, you see.
Yeah.
It was a very unusual day in my life.
Akriya is a spontaneous muscular contraction.
Oh.
And it's interesting because sometimes it's not particularly earth shattering, but it can be life changing.
Was this like a Kundalini experience, basically, or?
Uh huh. Yeah. It's like considered a precursor to a Kundalini awakening.
Yeah.
And actually, some people think it's associated even with things, like what speaking in tongues and Shakers and Quakers go through when they're in church.
Well.
So however one manifests it, it does seem to come with these physical symptoms that vary from person to person, but kind of a, it's, I had something like that last summer. After a sexual experience.
Yeah.
And in my case, I ended up birthing a brand new workshop because of it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That energy, that, sexual energy is the divine feminine. That is where everything creative, whether it is from the mind or, a baby can come out of it or, all the greatest ideas and thoughts of man have come from that burst of, Kundalini creative sexual energy. It's birthed everything.
Oh, that's the only reason you and I are second air right now.
Yeah, I know. And so, and here talking, it's so wonderful. The new media out there is giving us all a voice and helping to empower everybody. Isn't this fun?
Helping us to connect with each other too.
Oh, I love it.
Your wife's name is Teresa.
Yes.
Did she start going into menopause at 51? Is this at the same time you have your amazing download, or did your download, it sounded to me like from reading your materials that you'd actually kind of gotten the download just before she started becoming concerned about menopause.
Correct. She hadn't really been having any symptoms or anything, and as I got this, part of the information I got was the first amount of information I got all had to do with sexuality. And I'm thinking, I I've never written a book, and I'm not going to write my first book as a sexual manual. You know, this is not...
Oh, God forbid.
Yeah, God forbid.
My first book was about. Get over it.
You know, you got to write what you know about. I was going to write something about advertising or radio program or something.
But sex is the healing that this planet needs.
Well, it is, and that was what, you know, she was just starting to start symptoms, and, you know, and she still was like so many women that in fear of and not in true knowledge of their own sexuality because of all the crap that's been piled on that three-letter word, sex. And so when I got all this, I knew that it would put her in fear, and being the old advertising guy that, you know, I want this book of great information.
Try to position your pitch?
Yeah, I'm looking at my market. I'm putting my marketing hat on and thinking that, you know, here's this unbelievable information that was given to me to help the greatest amount of women possible to, and I started taking out that really sexual information but leaving in some, you know, the other stuff. And my wife, Teresa, who every time I tried to stop writing this book, Plan B, Spirit would say, it's for Teresa, and say, okay, damn it, I'll go back and start doing it. So, but it was, if it's for her, I've got to do it, and it was for her as in every woman, and so, I put it all in back in there, and I've never had anybody, say that it was wrong. It helped them tremendously, but the whole menopause thing was one of the things that I've been told was, those without seed will lead, and not until I was almost done with the book, and Teresa was starting to show the symptoms and think about what to do and started reading all the different books. Dr. Christian Northrup has one of the greatest books, The Power and Wisdom of Menopause. And then I realized what that nugget of wisdom was about. These are the women going through menopause right now, the greatest amount of women ever on this planet, very intelligent and very powerful. These are the women that were going to lead us into this new age.
You know, this theme, it's out there in a few different venues. There's something called Gather the Women, which is taking place across the globe.
I'm going to write that down.
Gather the Women.
Okay.
And the women have been, they just gather in small communities.
Yeah.
And talk about how the premise behind Gather the Women is that if we are going to achieve world peace, it's going to come from the women. Now, I'll tell you something. I would love to see your material infused with this material because so far it is lacking a sexual component.
Well, a lot of people are afraid to do it, and I was for a while.
Well, yes, in some ways, you know, when I first started talking to you, I'm kind of like, oh, come on, this man's going to tell women about how to be more empowered. How patronizing could that get?
Well, you know, that was one of the things that I said, you know, give this to Oprah, somebody, you know, give it to another. and what I kept hearing is that, first of all, I had all the tools in my tool belt of how to communicate this time of man. I'd been doing everything in advertising, promotion, marketing, everything there was. Now I knew radio and the internet and everything. Plus, you know, I have my wife, two daughters, both cats, and dog is a girl, so I'm the only guy in this household. I understand the feminine energy, but knowing from my so many past lives, I had been a woman in so many of my past lives. I make a very ugly woman now. I'm 6'6" and 250 and have a beard and you know, I look really bad in a skirt, but
yeah, you're all man.
It is, but I have been told now, and I was told as I was writing this thing, it would be so much more powerful coming from a man, and it has been. I'm very thankful for what it's done so far for so many different women.
Well, you know, what occurs to me is that, I mean, you know, I'm doing my part, but I am, you know, basically here standing in for the sacred prostitute. And that's an archetype that needs to be rebirthed, and it's very important. But
right.
it's difficult for a lot of women to approach the sacred prostitute because there's just so much intense fear.
Yes.
And as you know, a lot of women really gravitate towards Dr. Phil. So women are still, you know, going to a man for permission, basically.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons that we're still stuck in this place, is because of the fact that this cellular memory, you know, women don't consciously think, oh, I better not be, sexual or break some of the sexual taboos because I might die. But on a cellular level, there is this memory
yeah.
of women who were burned at the stake and killed because they were sexually independent.
And you just hit on one of the biggest things that I'm dealing with right now with groups is that because we're all connected, it's proven now, quantum physics has proven, metaphysics, you know, we are all connected.
Yeah.
And everybody's getting the same information, but because of these past lives, these memories that you're talking about that did not end very well, so many, many, many people, and that's what we're all here for now, because we don't have too many years to before we have to help bring this harmony back together of the male and female. It's been out of balance for so long that so many, especially the women and the guys too, because we've been both men and women, and that fear is still there. And I've had to really change a few of the talks I've been given to help people understand, you know, why it is safe. And, you know, that's one thing, Veronica, when I was getting this information, I had done so much past life myself, understanding my past lives, and I kept asking Spirit, is it safe this time? And I didn't ask once, I didn't ask 24 times, it must have been 36 times, because not just for myself, but for my family, my loved ones, and anybody that might be moved to get on their path this time. And every single time I heard, this time we're safe. We can do it.
Hmm.
It was very, very, very clear, and it's, you know, thankfully we're being able to do that, and this great energy that is coming right down right now that has been coming down for about 3 years now is generating this awakening of this group of these wise women we're talking about.
Right.
That is, you know, for 35,000 years that was the group of women. This matriarchal societies that gave, created, nurtured. They were the healers. They were the ones that were ran all the villages and the towns and
gave us months because of the menstrual cycle, which
yeah.
also led to math, which led to language. So
yes, this was a time. You know, this was when everything was together. It was the goddess, the matriarchal society was about love and sexuality and creativity and spontaneity, feeling, instinct, intuition. You know, all those things that 5,000 years ago they started being torn apart. Man really took over about 1,700 years ago and separated, you know, mind from matter, soul from body, intellect from intuition, reason from instinct, and created something called, you know, dichotomies, dualism. You know, we know everything is a whole, but we've been taught, and that is part of the reason why women have a hard time understanding that, you know, sexuality and spirituality was the same thing, is the same thing, but was the same thing forever until just these last 1,700 years. We have to put it back together. They have to understand it is safe now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to ask you a follow-up question there, but let me check in with the audience right now.
Yeah.
If you want to call in and comment, you got a question for Terry or myself, give us a call toll-free in the U.S. at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. Once again, the Canadian toll-free number is 888-815-9756. And I'll go ahead and open up that BBS fast chat window, so if you are shy and don't want to pick up the phone and you'd rather send an email, just hit BBS fast chat on your page right there and open up a window and type away.
boy, I like this. All the ways to get to us. This is wonderful.
So
you can't hide.
Terry.
Yes.
You indicated in our first conversation that not all was perfect in the previous matrifocal societies, that there were some mistakes that were made. And I am curious as to what those are.
Well, in the matriarchal societies, part of the thing is that we needed that society, that nurturing, that loving, that creative society, to populate the earth. It was important, though, and I kept asking, you know, if everything is perfect, if spirit or God, whatever you want to call that energy, is perfect, and I believe he, she is, then this was for a reason. And so the male dominance that the feminine let back in, it really has now raised us in, you know, with medicine and science and all these wonderful things that we have nowadays. But as you know, a car battery does not work with just one terminal hooked up well. You know, one terminal has been hooked up really well, the male terminal, but the female terminal has been really shaky. And now that tip of the scale to the male is and has basically destroyed this planet, is destroying this planet. So this great feminine aspect of energy that has been coming down here in droves, just blanketing the planet for the last few years, is now going to help bring that balance. And I think for the first time ever, what I hear is that this planet will have that balance. It was one way to the feminine for so long, now it's to the male, and we have to get it back together, but the male is not letting go very easily.
Well, you know, I actually take great hope in the recent presidential election.
Yeah.
Because I think it's quite interesting that our new president was raised by two very powerful women.
Right.
I think that's huge, and I've been with men who have that strong influence from a mother, and they carry a different energy and a different approach to life than men who are heavily identified with their fathers.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And that to have him now, I mean, there's so many different special things that have happened here, but to have that kind of a background, the understanding of the feminine, which he does, isn't that kind of an interesting coincidence?
Yes, I do. I think it's very exciting.
It is.
And at the same time, of course, it's again being delivered to us in a male body, and I think, you know, in a lot of ways, this is the transition that we have to go through, that we're just not quite ready as a society to accept a truly empowered female. And we were going to talk a little bit about that concept in relation to the presidential race, and specifically about Hillary Clinton and Sarah Palin, not getting into, you know, our party affiliations or who we would or would not have voted for, or even how good we think these two women would have been in office.
Right.
But just simply the dynamics at play there, and I'm wondering if what your take on that is. I know you've been thinking about it for the past couple of days.
Yeah, it's just looking at, and we were talking about the different archetypes and everything that, you know, we have, you know, Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton. We can't forget they were both elected officials. They didn't just come on the scene. You know, they've been doing what they've been doing for some time and got elected and didn't just show up on the presidential scene just overnight. So, you know, these are people that have done what it took to get there. They were both, you know, very, very, are wanting to get there. They had the drive. They had the want. They're both smart people, but they chose two different ways. Hillary Clinton, to the masculine, asexual side of the balance of the spectrum. Sarah Palin, on the feminine, cute, sexual side of the spectrum. But again, they were living from their mind, I believe. This is what I think. And so they're extremely polarizing individuals because of what they mentally picked and calculated for their persona. And so because of that, extremely polarizing individuals. So that was my original take on, you know, what was going on. What we know now, that to really be the powerful feminine, you really have to have that blending, that harmony, that balance of the masculine and the feminine, and you have to really know your true being. And I think it was too calculated, and they were doing it for similar reasons, but they picked two different camps to go. Does that make sense?
Well, I understand where you're coming from, or at least what the observations that you're making.
Yeah.
I would add that, you know, being in a female body in the current culture, it can be incredibly difficult to try to move as a whole person.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of forces out there trying to penalize you at every step. So, you know, one of the things that I noticed with both women was that no matter what they did, they were criticized ruthlessly.
I know. Most men wouldn't get that kind of criticism.
And that's the whole point. I mean, people will say, oh, well, the men get criticized too. And it's true that they do. But, you know, when Senator Clinton was running for the office in New York, to be a senator for New York, this was back a few years ago, Larry King on CNN had an entire episode devoted to critiquing her, and they spent the bulk of the program critiquing her, the size of her thighs and calves and the shape
ankles.
Of her buttocks.
Yes.
And that kind of reductionism is not applied to men. We may make some jokes about John McCain being old or some jokes about Barack Obama having elephant ears. But they're jokes that they come and they go, and it's taken in the context of this person still being a person. By dissecting a woman to an amalgamation of body parts, you effectively eliminate her as a person.
Right.
And that, I think, is, you know, the kind of misogynism that is still present in it. And what happens for any woman who has enough courage, which both Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton had a lot of courage to put themselves out there.
Right.
They are going to find themselves being just eviscerated. I mean, it's going to be like Hillary, you know, she was the ice queen. Then she cried. She was faking it. She's asexual, and she's got too big of a bottom. And then she shows some cleavage, and she's being a slut. I mean, there's, like, no way to win.
No.
Absolutely no way to win. And I think that is something that, you know, when women who are, thinking about starting to get enough courage to come into their power and they see that kind of treatment of some women that are perhaps way more courageous than they are at this point, it's very intimidating. And I think confusing. Like, which way would I go? What should I do? Should I wear high heels? Oh, no, if I wear high heels, they'll accuse me of being cutesy, and they'll call me, what was the Barbie? They called Sarah Palin, something Barbie. And then they made up, these little action dolls?
Oh, right, yeah.
Action figure dolls.
Yeah.
And at first blush, this stuff seems quite harmless, but the net result is that over and over again, women are being treated in a way that is so different from the way that we treat men that I think we're still forced into the old whore Madonna complex. We've got good girls and bad girls, and that's a tough one. So what kind of wisdom can you share with us about if being a whole spiritual sexual being is crucial not only to women as individuals, but to this planet?
Well,
would you advise women to work past this fear?
I think we've bought into it. You know, our mothers, our grandmothers are, you know, passing along all these fears, and And they're not doing it on purpose, but they were bought into this a long time ago when a group of men over, you know, really 1,700 years ago, when they really decided that women were going to be taken out of the picture when they created this new Christian religion at the Council of Nicaea. And, you know, for like 500 years, according to the church, women had no souls. They were not going to heaven. And so it's
Is that
just,
for real?
It's for real. You can go to the, as a researcher, I was able to go into the Holy See and get a lot of the old documents, and it truly was. For at least 500 years, it was stated women have no souls. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's embarrassing. And sexual feelings and passion were things to now all of a sudden battle against for the sake of your soul. Forever it was part and whole. And then love of self now is replaced by fear of self. So, you know, the signals have been so messed up through thousands of years now that it is a tough thing to get back, but it is the time right now, and you see there's some advancement. You felt some advancement, you see it, but it's going to take the men to change too, and that's why this immense amount of divine feminine energy and an excess of it is coming down, because as you know, men and women both have the male and female hormones, and guys are starting to soften a little bit and understand that other side a little bit. So I think that's going to make it easier.
I think we are definitely experiencing a shift with both genders.
It is. It had to be but still, it's not. You know, we were talking about Dr. Phil and Oprah and everything, that, you know, these all of a sudden these doctors, male doctors, will be coming on all of these shows, and they're saying that finally, which is wonderful to know, that, you know, that you need, they say, well, you have to have sex at least 3 to 4 times a week for optimal health. Well, truly it isn't sex you need, it's just an orgasm, and but men don't want to still take themselves out of the picture there. So finally, at least that's coming out, and understanding that, again, women have to understand, you talked about giving, getting permission, and women and men both, but women have been learned to give it away, wait for permission to do something. But, you know, if they understand, and that's why so much information I got about sexuality, is that you need to learn how to give it to yourself, not wait for somebody else, but how can you give love to somebody else if you don't have love for yourself? How do you know how to make love if you still don't know yourself what you like and what you need? So it's all about self-empowering again and not waiting for somebody else to give it to you. And that's what I'm doing a lot of talking about that.
So, and really, we're talking about masturbation here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually teach something called masturbation meditation.
And that is perfect.
Well, I'm interested in getting people to marry their sexuality with their spirituality, and because that's what I'm all about. I'm all about bridging these two.
Oh,
quantities.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. I didn't know that, and because they are the same, and thank goodness some of the women I've been talking to, there's two just fabulous women that are building a temple to that goddess energy. And part of what you can do, well, let's say when you are building, to an orgasm, are you worried about your bills and yesterday and that guy that did you wrong and what's going on tomorrow? No, you are in a singular now. You know,
right.
That's where you are, and that's where you're the most powerful. And that energy that you build, that is the highest form, the closest that you'll ever get to the universal life force energy, that powerful energy that our bodies can build.
It is. And there's also, I mean, you can even think of it in terms of sex being the most powerful creative force there is. So if you're using meditation in conjunction with masturbation, than, you know, lighting candles and incense and playing some kind of music, you know, that you identify with in a more of a spiritual state of mind.
Oh, yeah.
And actually doing your meditation. I like to do my meditation for like a half an hour before I go masturbate so that I have gotten that kundalini energy stirred up.
Yeah.
And I'm in my body and I'm connecting to source. And it takes the sexual experience in a totally different direction. So, you know, for me, it's not about necessarily fantasizing about sex.
Yeah.
I actually fantasize about things like saving the environment and world peace. And I find those things to be so invigorating. And I wouldn't say sexy, because it's a different type of sex. It's connecting with things, concepts that are huge and powerful.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And well, and then feeling that exhilaration of hope and feeling that rush of where we are at this particular time in history, which is so momentous and so important. Well, and then if at that very moment that so you can use, you know, that type of thought process to actually build the sexual excitement. And then at the moment of orgasm, if you visualize something that you want to help co-create on this planet,
yes,
then in my opinion, you are right at the doorway of creation. And your orgasm, you know, has the potential to be far more powerful than just an affirmation.
Veronica, you have hit one of the most important pieces of information that I was given. I don't have it in Book 1 here, in Plan B Book 1, but I will send you. You were talking about the kind of meditation techniques. There is a meditation that I was given. I just woke up one day, and there it was, and I just quickly ran downstairs and wrote it all out, and it was pretty much exactly what you just said, and using that highest form of energy that a human body can produce to focus it, to manifest anything. And whether it's for you, you know, this is, talk about the secret, this is the real secret.
this is graduate school of the secret.
Yeah, this is a PhD of secret. So, you know, it is something that, though, was used in the temples from the beginning of time. I mean, the women that were the priestesses in the temples, they were perfectly balanced human beings. They were the ones that, I mean, they would be considered in today, you'd call them bisexual, because they used, you know, both the male and the female, the alchemy of both energies to help create. And in the temples, the women would, you know, the priestess would be there. The other priestesses would masturbate together and build that energy, focus it to one person, and send it to the universe, to God, to for the greater good of all. And you've hit on, I mean, that's what I've been writing a lot about now for the second book, is the alchemy of that energy. You know, it's cooking with all the ingredients.
To me, this is the thing that's missing, because you think about, we have tried so many different approaches to world peace, and we have tried so many different approaches to, you know, how can we eliminate violence. And I know in our conversation earlier this week, I mentioned to you the bonobo, which is a close relative of a human being. But
I love what you're telling me.
Yeah, they look like chimpanzees, but they're not. And that they have already evolved to the point to where, and what's very interesting about the bonobo, too, is that they have a lot of face-to-face sex.
Oh.
So the chimpanzee and a lot of other animals engage in what we call doggy style sex, you know, where they're not actually looking into each other's eyes. But the bonobo gazes into its lover's eyes. And because they're face-to-face, their heart chakras are aligned, and they're sharing breath. These are all tantric principles.
Yes.
And the scientists have watched them making love and noticed that if one partner's attention tends to wander and they're not really into the sex act, the other one will stop.
Oh.
Like they have very little interest in friction. They are all about tantric connection.
The connection.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they engage in a lot of sexual connection throughout the day with a lot of different partners. The grandmothers, the older females, are the ones who have veto power. Now, this is to say that the males don't also have power. They absolutely do. They're bigger. They still have sexual dimorphism. So the males are huge, and they've got, you know, large canines. And physically superior to the females. But the grandmothers cooperate with each other as a group. And this is where they get their power from working in concert as a group. And this is one of the things that's really lacking with women. Women are still so much looking for their identification with a man that
right.
they haven't really started learning how to bond with each other. And work together with each other and on behalf of each other. So with the bonobo, there's like this real balancing going on where the males still have a leadership role, but they don't get out of balance. And the grandmothers will come along and say, no, we're not going to do that. This is not unlike what the Iroquois were doing before the white man came to this continent.
Yeah, and our ancestors did for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah, the Iroquois Indian had a male chief and a grandmother.
Mm.
And that's actually why we have a Congress and a Senate, because we studied the Iroquois and, well, hey, that's a pretty good system. We need some checks and balances.
And then we annihilated them.
Yes, and then we annihilated them. And we're getting very close to doing the same thing with the bonobos. They are the only primate in existence on this planet that's peaceful. And I just, you know, I think there's such a richness there to study and hopefully emulate. You know, if we can ever get past the idea that we as human beings have more wisdom than any other life form on this planet.
We think we're so smart, and we know everything, you know. If
yeah.
if we would just look out, one thing that, if we just look outside, nature has all the answers. If you just look out there, you know, there's no dichotomies. It's all right there, one season to the next, everything works together, and we try to take everything out and dissect it and get rid of that circle, that hole, and this is all about, what you're doing, what we're doing, is bringing that whole back together. And it's, I'm just excited talking to you here tonight.
Well, I'm very excited to get to know you, too, and to know that you're doing this wonderful work. And for our listeners out there, how about some concrete tips about menopause? I was reading about your wife Teresa's journey around, you know, should she do bioidenticals? Should she do hormone replacement therapy? And you actually came to a very spiritual solution to those questions. Can you share that with us?
Well, I think that one of the things is that if you can just learn to, and we've talked about meditating, we've talked about orgasms. I mean, the greatest thing that you can do, you have that little reset button to push. Whenever the hormones are, it automatically balances your hormones when you have an orgasm, especially a clitoral orgasm. I mean, you are given the power to help do that naturally, and the more that you can listen to yourself, listen to your own guidance, your soul's guidance, I truly believe you need to find time to, meditate. Even if it's prayer, if it's just walking in the woods to quiet that chatter that's in your head, get rid of all the fear and judgment of self and others. There's so many different ways to do this, and all of a sudden, the hormones will take care of themselves. I mean, we've, in the West here, you know, the Western medicine preaches to women that this is a time to fear, and we all just fear, you know what fear does to the body, and so, you know, this is debilitating mentally and physical, and so truly what it is in menopause, it's a time of rebirth. You know, this is the time, you know, you've been going through your whole life of nurture me, nurture you, nurture me, nurture you, and now when you are in menopause, this is the time for nurturing you. Your intuitive abilities are on 24/7. You know, so many women that I've talked to before when they were saying, oh, I got to get these hormones and I got to do all these things and I need something to calm me down because I'm like hearing voices and everything. Well, yeah, but you know, in the East, they don't have that many problems. It's just here in the West where you've been taught to fear. So to calm down and to not have that many problems, to realize that you need to quiet, stay away from fear. Don't listen to the news. Don't read the newspaper. Don't, you know, get what you need when you need it, but, you know, just don't listen to all those things that are causing that dis-ease, and Teresa's been doing all that and more and has no problems. They all just went away.
You know, I start choking up actually listening to you because the idea that menopause is a rebirth, I have not actually heard that before.
Well, it's a time to shed the old skin and become your true self. This is, you know, it was all about birthing and all the different, and nurturing others. Now was the time to nurture yourself, and this is why this energy is coming down to generate this awakening in this the wise women that are out there, because you really truly, you know, we talk about feminine intuition and all that stuff. It is on 24/7. So, and part of the thing is they say, oh, you're going to dry up, and sex is no longer an issue, and you can't, and all this kind of stuff. It is better. Truly better, and the men that were in power and decided to put this fear out there years and years ago want women to believe this is when they cannot be sexual. They don't look good. There's, you know, the men have, you know, the way that the advertising wants you to believe. So it, truly, if you just go against everything you've been told, you'll be doing it right. So just don't.
I noticed you had, too, Teresa had gone, when it sounds like there's quite a synergy going on between you and your wife on this, and one of the things that she went and got the Christiane Northrup book and pulled out a quote in there that said, before you take something to relieve menopausal symptoms, acknowledge and listen to your body's inner wisdom in creating those outward symptoms.
Yes.
And that, I guess, you know, it's just so difficult for us as women to turn our attention back on ourselves and to show up for ourselves, because we are so much about helping others,
right,
and being there for others.
Well, you can't help. You truly can't give anything to somebody else that you don't have yourself. And so you're just partially giving. And yeah, you know, we were talking about both Sarah and Hillary, you know, they're just partially giving because they're not whole people themselves. They're doing what they need to do because they bought into these different stereotypes that you have to be to get along nowadays. So they're just half doing it. So it's just
true.
Yeah.
I'd say so. They've both expressed half of a person.
Right.
Different halves. If we could have put them together, we could have had a whole person.
We could have. See, then it would work perfectly. But I can tell talking to you, you have really put it together. This is wonderful to hear.
Thank you. Hey, we're getting down to our last couple of minutes. So tell us a little bit about Plan B.
Plan B. I tell you what, it's out there now, 300 pages. You can go to my website if you want to get it, and you should. You really should.
And give us that address.
It is, go put those W's in front of there. It's go to plan B. So it's GOTOPLANBE. So B is spelled BE as in be what you were meant to be the best you can be. So go to planb.com, and that first page right at the top, you can click on this little banner and go and buy the book. My email is in the back, so if you email me, I will even call you and give everybody who buys the book a free 15-minute Akashic Records reading. So,
wow.
How about that?
Can I get one of those?
You can. I tell you what, you don't even have to buy the book. I will give you one. That'll be exciting.
So, and is Teresa involved in this, or...?
She is, and she wanted to be here with us tonight. She was up at 3 this morning, has to be up in a few hours at 3 again. Tomorrow she's helping Banana Republic open a new merchandise, a new store here in St. Louis, so she's been, she had to go to bed. But
yeah.
Part of the thing is that now that she has read this book, it was for her, she's read it 4 different times, it's different every time for her, but she has entered into her power. She's not afraid of her own sexuality. She even brought up today, there's Timothy Leary has a, good old Timothy Leary, that he has a great quote that I thought you would love. Women who seek to be equal with men lack ambition.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? And she was bringing that up today with talking about business and everything, but she is doing this with me. Yes, we are now together. We're doing our radio show on Blog Talk Radio every Monday, and so...
You just had one today before mine.
Yes, and she barely finished it and went to bed, and she apologized. She wanted to talk to you so bad. So you have to come on our show, our Plan B show, sometime soon.
I'm there. I would love to be there.
Great.
So, so it's go to Plan B, as in a human being, B-E.
B-E.
Not just a B.
Yeah, .com.
.com. And getting back now to the central message here, which I just love, is that the women without seed will lead.
Yes.
So the whole idea being here that we have been led to believe that menopause is the end of sex and the end of vitality, and it's the beginning of all this horrific aging, and society has done its best to try to shove women of menopause age out of view, as if they had a disease or something. And what you are coming to say,
yes,
is that these are the very voices that will save this planet.
And as long as you believe that you are unempowered, that you are disempowered, that you are less, especially now that you are reaching this supposedly terrible change of life,
right.
It's not the case. This is where you are the most powerful, and the patriarchal paradigm does not want to let go and wants you to believe otherwise. And this is a time of rebirth. This is a glorious time to shed the old skin, become your true self, and these millions and millions, billions of women that are on this planet right now are here to change it, and we're all going to help it. You're going to help.
Well, I'm only 48, but I had an early menopause.
Whoa.
So you're a breath of fresh air.
So are you.
And a gust of good news.
I like good news. I'm not putting any fearful stuff out there.
Yeah. And I, on behalf of all of us menopausal women, thank you.
Well, thank you. This 2012 is not the end of mankind. It's just the end of the rule of man, and it's back to male and female being on the throne next to each other.
Well, we got it. Let's start conjuring.
Let's do it.
Let's start conjuring. And for all of our listeners out there, as soon as we get off the phone here, I want you to go light a candle, put on your favorite music, lay down, think about world peace, have a wonderful orgasm.
You couldn't do anything better. And you'll feel better. You'll be healthier even.
Yes, you will. Thanks, Terry. We'll have you back on, okay?
Thank you, Veronica, and we'll be calling you to get on our show, too. This has been wonderful.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.